going?
What?
Okay. Gentlemen, Rabbi Isai, good morning.
I saw him in hospital.
Yeah.
He looked well.
Okay, so good morning. And our limud of halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chai Leishtav, refuah shleima b'korev, b'soi shol chai Leishtrol. So the discussion came up yesterday because I said that if one was to meet someone today in London who was a confirmed Amaleki, a descendant of Amalek, confirmed beyond any doubt, and of course we have doubt, says that we don't know, well, whether or not DNA, we had a shiur from Rabbi Tatz as to whether or not DNA is going to be koveya halacha, whether or not it's, yeah, that's an issue. But let's suppose for the purposes of this exercise that DNA in halacha would confirm identity. Yeah, and this person...
We might all have a bit of a
Moloch
in us.
We might have a bit of a Moloch in us. I mean, we all do have a bit of a Moloch in us. But you're talking about in our genes. Yeah? Whether or not physically, right, there probably might be a number of people who would discover the descendants of a Moloch and might be disappointed. But having said that, if we could hypothetically confirm that a person that we met on Oxford Street was a Moloch... would we be mechuyev to kill him bizman hazeh in England, despite all the laws, and be prepared to go to jail for the rest of my life for having committed a murder on the streets of London? Okay, that's the shaila. So yesterday I said yes. Yesterday my assumption was that the whole point of Parsha Zocher is that it's kedei lekayim Zocher siyom haShabbos lekadshoy. That I remember, I mentioned Shabbos in order to keep Shabbos, and Zocher es asher so lecho Miriam, Hashem lekecha le Miriam, is in order that I should remember what happened to Miriam, and I should not speak Loshon Hara. And Hu Adin, Zocher es asher so lecho Amalek, is a practical thing that I have to do, Bizman Hazeh, to remind myself, and to mention Amalek, and to make public mention of Amalek, in order that we should keep his sinner alive in our own minds, so that we would be prepared if the opportunity arose tomorrow, or today even, to kill an Amaleki, I'd be prepared to do it. And we spoke about this Muslim who said that, you know, living in this British society that we live in, we would find that very difficult to do. On the other hand, they always say that if somebody had murdered a little baby in Austria, in the hospital soon after he was born, in 19 whatever it was, yeah, and little baby Adolf Hitler, right, had been murdered by the nurse in the hospital or something like that, he would have been doing the world a great favour, and it would have been kedai to do. So if a Moloch is in essence Ra, if he is in essence Rishus, then the Torah says you have to destroy a Moloch. So the question is, does it apply Bisman Hazeh, or is it Yemois HaMashiach? So when you look at the Pasuk says, V'hoyo, and it will be, V'honiach Hashem Elokech HaLecho, this is at the end of Parshas Kiseitse, that when you have rest from all your enemies, bo'oretz, in the land, Hashem lekech ha'noisen lecho, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you l'rishto to inherit it, then it sounds like Timche Ezecha Amalek, sounds like from the Pasuk that we have to be living in Eretz Yisrael, and that we have to have peace from all our enemies, and l'rishto that we have to have taken over the land. And that's why, for instance, the Chinuch says, it wasn't the Chinuch, it was one of the Foshim on the Chinuch says, that that's why Yeshua didn't have the mitzvah of killing Amalek, because there's not yet Lerishto, because they hadn't done Chalukas Ha'oretz yet. And as long as Chalukas Ha'oretz wasn't finished, then there wasn't the mitzvah of Bichias Amalek. On the other hand, right, if you look at history, then the mitzvah of destroying Amalek, the first battle with Amalek, was in Rephidim. And Rephidim was outside Eretz Yisrael. Rephidim was the last stop before Har Sinai, on the way from Eretz Mitzrayim to Har Sinai. And there Moshe Rabbeinu got the mitzvah. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to go out, take an army, and to destroy Amalek. On the other hand, there, it wasn't quite like that, because it was Amalek attacked us. What? Le'elochein ba'amalek. Okay. Le'elochein ba'amalek. And also there, we were attacked by Amalek. So that was an act of self-defense. It wasn't that we were going out in order to destroy Amalek. But what about the future? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Amalek is bad, Amalek attacked you, Amalek, you did as much as you could to Amalek, and B'honiach, then we got the mitzvah in the future that we have to destroy Amalek. Question, does it apply Bizman Hazeh, or is it only Yemois HaMashiach, is it only in Eretz Yisrael? We know Sholosh Mitzvahs in Stavi Yisrael, that there were three mitzvahs that in Stavi Yisrael says the Gemara, Keshenichnas Loretz, the one is Lahamid Melech, when we get into Eretz Yisrael, we have mitzvah number one to appoint a king, Lahachris Amalek, and then to destroy Amalek, Ulivnois Beis Abachira, and then to build a Beis Amikdosh. So therefore, Lechoira, it sounds like that it's only a mitzvah that happens when we come into Eretz Yisrael. We will learn that it is a machlokes Rishonim, as to whether or not it's a mitzvah Bizman Hazeh, or only a mitzvah Limois HaMashiach, and that we will continue with tomorrow, B'li Neder.
Start your day at the Turaway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Kof Cheshvat, 26th of February, Rabbi Yaakov Klein Schlitter, the Soul of Purim, part 1 of 3. This week's Torah was sponsored by Family Frankel, who had Simuch Svar Mitzvah of Yitzi Frankel, Mary Oyes, Mitzvah took place last Shabbos. He wrote in Shisku, who wrote, was going to wrap Nachas, and then we call you Tzei Chalat Tzehem, to discuss Hashvoim Ha'chayolim Ba'amel Chamot, Shach Sudabal Tzehem, Shalom Ben Gairo.
Okay, good morning. Good morning to everybody. It's such a privilege to be here and to learn with you this morning. Be'ezras Hashem, this is going to be the first in a three-part series over the next couple of weeks, each Wednesday, for the next 3 weeks, preparing ourselves for Purim, Avalinu L'Taiva, as we enter Chodesh Adar. I saw from one of the tzaddikim who says that not just Mishenichnas Adar, Marba Mesimcha, they said Mishenichnas Shabbos Mevarchim Adar, already Marba Mesimcha, so even though it's before Chodesh Adar itself, but Adar is already very much in the air. And with Hashem's help, you know, really everything that I try to teach, there are so many wonderful teachers of halacha, and I feel that my personal tchum is to try to help Jews, Yidden, men, women, boys and girls, all of us, and hopefully also myself, to be able to approach halacha with a little bit of a deeper perspective, to understand that halachas are the vessels, hein gufei halachas, it's like the body, there has to be an neshama in the halacha, that's the point, right? That point isn't simply just to know what the rules are and the parameters and to make sure that we're ticking the boxes, we'll get olam haba one day, right? The point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended for halacha to be really an immersive experience of consciousness expansion, right? That everything that we engage in is supposed to help to bring us to a deeper level of emunah, like the Pasuk in Tehillim says, v'chol mitzvay secha emunah, right? The whole point of all the mitzvahs is just emunah, it's just Eibishter, it's just to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu more and more deeply into our lives. This is what the Gemara Makkos tells us, Bach HaBakuk, of course, v'hamidan al achas, he said, if you have to sum up the whole Yiddishkeit with all the different mitzvahs, with all of their parameters, and the dikduke halachas, Tzadik ve'emunasa yichya. At the end of the day, it's about living with emunah, and that's what halacha is. Halacha means to walk, right? Who are we walking with? To walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, letayel, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'gan Eden. Forget about the next world, what this world could be if a person's living life plugged in to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in that vein, what we're going to attempt to do in the next 3 weeks is to take different sugyas of Hilchos Purim and to try our best, using the Sfarim HaKadoshim from the Tzadikim, from the Beis Medrash largely, or the Baal Shem HaKadosh, to be able to give ourselves a deeper perspective and to explore the inner dimension of some of these mitzvahs. And so the first shiur, which is today, we're going to be taking a look at some of the halachas with regard to the reading of the Megillah. These halachas really come from the first two Mishnayos in Perek Beis in Megillah, and the Gemara flushes all of these things out, but right now we're just going to learn them on a very, very simple, basic level, and mamash just read these two Mishnayos together. It's all of the first Mishnah and part of the second Mishnah, and this particular teaching comes from the Ma'arva Shemesh, who is third generation, really fourth generation, of Hasidus, Rav Kleinemus Kalman Epstein, who is a tremendous, tremendous goyin, and we have his writings in Nigla and in Nister, and he was a Talmud of both the Berditchev Rav of Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, as well as the Noam Elimelech. So he came from that realm, who were both, of course, Talmidim of the Magid of Mizrich, who himself was the primary disciple of the Baal Shem Tov. And so this comes from that Beis Medrash, and he begins. B'Gemara, it's originally from the Mishnah. Ha'koyre es ha-Megillah l'mafreya l'yatza. If a person reads the Megillah out of order, backwards, he starts in one place and then he reads backwards, l'yatza, it needs to be read in order. Kara al-peh, if a person reads it without a text, La Yatza. Also, a person just knows the Megillah by heart and he reads it. Also, La Yatza. Kara Targum Chalashin La Yatza. It says if you read the Megillah in Targum, in any Lashin, it is a person's not Yatza, right? And specifically, if you look at the Mishnah over there, it's speaking about a person who only knows Lashon HaKodesh. He's speaking in a different language. That's not going to help that person. However, Vahaloyes, but a person who does speak another language, Sheshama Ashuris, even if he doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh, right? Meaning the reverse. If a person doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh, but you read the Megillah, which is a fascinating thing, because it's not about the Shemiya Sheba. He doesn't understand the Megillah, but still just hearing the Lashon that's being read out of Ksav Ashuris, Yatza, that person is Yatza. What he skipped out over there, which is the Vechulu, which is slightly interesting, because it doesn't really tie in, as you'll see, to the way that he learns this Pepnimius, but it's maybe there's a way that you can tie it in, but it's not going to be part of his elucidation. Is that if you have a person who is a loyes, right, who does speak English, a person who speaks any language other than Hebrew, right? Like Laz, right? Belashon Laz, right? A loyes, a person who speaks a translation. If that person hears the Megillah read in French, let's say, which is classic Laz, right, in Rashi, but if a person hears it in Yiddish or something like that, that person will be Yotze. But he's not gonna be addressing that. So he sort of leaves that part out. But Va'aloye Sheshama Ashuris, again, if a person does not understand Lashon HaKodesh, but he comes to Shul and he hears the Megillah read in Lashon HaKodesh, even though he doesn't understand it, a person is Yotze. And then, this is the second Mishnah, Kar Sirugin, if a person reads the Megillah, and this is what it means on a literal level, where he reads it and then stops. And then he picks up again. He reads it and stops. Even if he paused as much as it would take, like let's say a half hour usually, 35 minutes or so, to read the whole Megillah, and then he picks up again, that's fine. He was Yotze with big breaks. That's not called Hefsik for the standpoint of reading the Megillah. That's okay. And the same is true for Nisnamnim. If a person is dozing off, and then he wakes up a little bit, and he keeps on reading, he dozes off, which is a similar thing to Sirugin. But over here, there's the bigger Chiddush is that he slipped out of the regular waking consciousness, and then he wakes up and he carries on. That's also Yatza. And the Gemara Tainis tells us, what's the definition of Nisnamnim? The Gemara Tainis tells us, Nim v'lo nim, tir v'lo tir. He's not really sleeping, but he's not really awake. And if you ask him a question, he can answer you, but he's not speaking with total clarity, right? And so I know what that means because I see people all the time in my shiur who are nimble and nim, tir v'lay tir. You know, so any Dairish knows what that is, that gather. But akopanim, that's what it means, a person who's sort of nisnamning. Okay. Who is reading, right? No, not listening, because I believe that you would miss out large parts. But I don't want to say for sure. But the Mishnah is speaking about people who are reading the Megillah, and that's what you see. Okay, so these are the halachas, some of the parameters that are brought to enable us to understand what this Indian of Mikra Megillah is. But again, the Torah is not just telling us sort of arbitrary dinim, right? Meaning each of these laws is a vessel for spiritual insight that is supposed to enable us to understand. What's the inyan of Mikra Megillah? What's that supposed to mean for my neshama, for my Yiddishkeit? And so here, the Ma'arav HaShemesh pulls back the curtain on these halachas and he explains. Yir l'irmais bezeh, he says we can read these Mishnayos al derech remez, al pi maimer chazal, the chazal say, in the Gemara in Megillah, the sholcha esel l'chachamim, Esther sent a message to the Chachmei Adar, and she said, kasvuni l'dayres, allow this story of the Megillah to be recorded for all of history. And they go back and forth, and they say it's going to cause issues with the Umasa Olam, and she needs a pasuk, and finally they find a pasuk, Ksav Zeis, Zikar, and Basefer, right? And they darshan all these different things, and Basefer, they say, we found a pasuk where we can include the story that happened with Achashverosh, and Haman, and Vashti, and Esther, and the whole story of the Megillah, into the canon, into the books of Tanakh. Says the Ma'arav HaShemesh, I don't understand, V'roi Lahavin, Ma Haya Kavanasam Bazeh, what's the whole kavana there? Like, what's the back and forth? Why did they need to find a pasuk to enable them to include Esther in the 24 books of Tanakh? There are many other Nevi'im of that time. Nehemiah, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. Right? All of those Nevi'im of Trei Asar were included in Tanakh. We don't find in the Gemara that we needed to find a pasuk that will enable us to include Ezra in Tanakh. Like, they were Nevi'im, and they were included. Especially, Ubafrati says, "Kinevuazu vadi hutzurchul adayres," right? Meaning, we know that There were 3 million, the Gemara tells us, 3 million prophets at the time where there was prophecy for Klal Yisrael, but we only included in Tanakh those nevuahs that were necessary l'dayrus. He says, you don't think the Megillah is necessary l'dayrus? That's a story. I mean, the Pesukim say, Chu'asam Ayisa, l'mnetzach, v'sekvasam achol dar v'dar. Not only that, but the Tzadikim say, based on that Pasuk, right, also v'lo yavar ksiv, based on that, also, there are two sources, that ultimately all of the other Yamim Tovim will fade away, after Mashiach comes, and there's a time of the Yom Shekula Shabbos, and then the Ariya Kadoshes, and I think I mentioned this in this context before, there will be a Yom Shekula Yantiv, and then after that is a Yom Shekula Purim, and that's forever and ever and ever. There's no greater nevuah that's ledairis than the nevuah of Esther Baruch HaKadosh Nemra, you know, and all of that. So what do they need a pasuk for? See, he says a very deep thing. We've explained in other places. Asher b'mei ha-Purim, what was happening in the time of Purim, and it's then b'mei ha-Purim means not just those days that the Megillah could be read, Yud-Alef, Yud-Bez, Yud-Daf, Yud-Gimel, and so on, but even in our time of Purim, like the Berditchever, who is the Rebbe of this tzaddik, said by Yom HaMahim that these miracles were not just commemorating something that happened by Yom HaMahim, but were re-experiencing those spiritual energies that are revealed anew each year, Bazman Hazeh. So what's happening? Not what happened. What is happening? Mamash Mesh V'Lavai, like we're coming into this energy. What is that energy that is shining b'mei Purim? Misnoitzeitz Moyach HaChachma Derech HaMalchus Shamayim. What's happening is that in Malchus, which is our realm, right, of current events and the way that things unfold, and the realm of the physical, and the realm of the vessels, and the realm of matter, and physicality, and individuality, and our experience of life in this realm, is revealed how mamash the Moyach HaChachma, which is Hashem's master plan, is being revealed through current events. And that's really what the Megillah is. We know that Hashem's name is not mentioned in the Megillah. The whole thing is Megillas Esther, right? Esther is hidden. The whole thing is that the whole story was concealed in such a way. We're learning with our Chabura, some of us have already learned together this morning. We're learning that there are people who, they'll see the biggest nais in the world, and they'll be master. They'll say it was just Teva, right? And interestingly enough, our Josephus brings the story of Purim, and he writes over there explicitly, In his works, Antiquities of the Jews, he says in there that there were many people who lived at the time of Purim who didn't see what the whole miracle was, and they didn't understand what the Jews were so excited about. It was just a very basic thing. It was coincidence after coincidence that it just so happened to be that he, you know, Vashti made a mistake, threw her out, Esther got in, Big Son and Seresh, Mordechai, Haman, the whole thing just happened the way that it happened. But ultimately, you and I know, from the standpoint of Emunah, this was a gilui, this was a revelation of the Mayach HaChachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's big picture master plan, which is always Chachma that's associated with vision, seeing, taking a step back, seeing a big picture that reveals itself, Derech HaMalchus Shamayim, that reveals itself in the Malchus, that enables us to understand that every single piece of news that we read, and that's true on a collective level, but every single experience that we have, it might look like it's the most just arbitrary thing that you experience. You bump into somebody in the store, this one says this thing to you, you happen to see a bit of information here, there, you see a post somewhere on social media, and you think like, stam, there's no stam. Every single bit of input that we take into our senses is a direct message, min hashamayim, every second of life, and one day we're going to see that. When we get to catch a glimpse of that in Olam Hazeh, that's called the Mayach HaChachma, that's revealing itself, and of course that's what happened in the miracle of Purim. Ki yadua b'kisvei Arizal, as is known in the Kisvei Ari, Asher Mordechai Meramiz l'Chachma Ilah, Mordechai is the aspect of this incredible Chachma Ilah. Mordechai is the aspect of the revealed realm. Mordechai is Gematria Rav Chesed. Mordechai is just the Gilui, is the revelation, the masculine aspect of revealed energy. That's Mordechai. Maradachi. That's the aspect of Chachma Ilah. And Ve'Esther is Meramezes L'Malchus Shemaim. Esther is the feminine aspect, the Kli, Olam Hazeh. And together, Mordechai and Esther are the vessels through which this energy of Purim unfolds, and the whole story happens through them. Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai is Chachma, Esther is Malchus. K'mayim Ra'akos Avatilbash Esther, Malchus, right? The Pasuk tells us that she enclothed herself in royal garments, but we see that Esther has a connection to Malchus, both through this pasuk, also because Esther is feminine, and that's always the feminine energy, and also Esther, in and of herself, means the realm that's hidden. That from there, Esther was able to bring the energy of Mordechai down into this realm, and revealed Ruach HaKodesh, the way that the whole world is mamish, there's nothing that's happening by itself. There's no mikra. Of course, Amalek, you're speaking about Amalek before. Amalek's whole thing is mikra, or karcha baderech. How did they attack us? With this consciousness of happenstance, the opposite of emuna, right? That leads to kriris, that leads to a cold world, that leads to a world that's blocked up, right? And not a world that's open, and not a world that's full of hope and purpose. Okay. The Gami is Kisvei Ari, and it's also brought in the writings of the Arizal. Ketevas Megillah below Yud, that if you have the word Megillah and leave the Yud out, Oyle Begamatria Ayin Ches, it equals Ayin Ches, Mispar Gimel Havoyas, which is itself the Gematria of 3 times Yud Ke Vav Ke, which is 26. Sheyesh Behem, that if you take 3 times these 4 letters of Yud Ke Vav Ke, there are 12 letters in all. Vemakoylel, again, this is just Kisvei Ari, Oyle Yud Gimel. So if you add 1, because you always add 1 for gematria, that aspect is the 13. Shem Shorish Ayud Gimel Mechilin Derachme. These are the 13 midas of Rachamim Shenem Shachem Al Yedei Megillah that we are drawing down when we read the Megillah. You read the Megillah 3 times Yud Kevavke, 12 letters Yud Gimel, 13 midas of Rachamim, and the Berditchever goes into this very deeply in the Kedushas Lepurim, and he describes at length, great length, what's happening in Shemayim when we read the Megillah. It's not stam, and you have 2 kinds of people. One person is coming to shul because it's Purim, and it says in my Rambam, you know, that you have to read Megillah, and I go in, I heard the Megillah, and I walk out, and I tick it off, which is beautiful, and you get Olam Haba. But the Berditchever and all the tzaddikim wanted that we should have paradise, not just in the next world, but paradise in this world, that mitzvah is not just a commandment, but it's tzavsa, it's a relationship. I need to know what's taking place on a metaphysical level, what's happening in my neshama, the opportunities that are open to us on the Yamim Toivim Bayamim Ahim, that we can re-experience Bazman Hazeh. What's happening is that the 13 midas of Rachamim are shining. Shenim Shachim Al Yidei Megillah, that we draw down through the reading of the Megillah, Ubechol Shana Veshana, and each and every year, B'mei Apurim, each and every year, again, anew, Misnoitzit HaMoichin Ilayim, these elevated revelations of the master plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Ashkacha, are shining and revealed Derech HaMalchus through our experience of reality. And a person gets a little bit, a person drinks a little bit on Purim, and you can get to that place, even if a person doesn't drink, but a person can get to a place of Emunah to be able to really feel and remember and understand that every single thing that's happening with Am Yisrael, befrat now over the last year and a half, Purim is just a time where you can sort of peek behind the curtain and really lean into the Emuna, that kol mada avir rachamana, even the most incredibly tragic, horrible things. We have the Levaya today, right, of the Bibas family. A person can lean into that emuna, and it's just something that you just vayidam aron shtoik kach ala b'machshav. You can't even say it with your mouth, but a Jew knows inside HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, and we don't understand how, but one day we will, right? And that's the energy of Purim. That's the opposite of Amalek that comes with all of his sophistication to cool us off, to cause us to become frozen in our path. Asher karcha baderech, that you think that you're on the way to Geula, forget about it. God has forsaken you. There's no hope. And that's Amalek. And this is what Purim is coming to battle with, to give us an infusion of Emunah. And all the judgments are sweetened through the reading of the Megillah, which is an incredible thing. Like, this is what's going to happen in a couple of weeks, and we have this incredible privilege to know that we're mamish going to be part of allowing to flow down into our world a tremendous infusion of Ashkacha. And through this, in Adar, we know that the halacha is about this. A person should try to have a court case in Adar, right? There's an energy of a special boost of sweetening gzeiros rois. If there's a terrible, dangerous, bad decree, machmas sheniftachim oiros hakdoshim, because heavenly lights are open. Pam shachas chasadim, and the drawing down of the yud gimel midos of rachmim of chesed. Kama shayi b'mei Mordechai ve'Esther, in the same way that we had in the time of Mordechai ve'Esther, shenas alehem nisim, when there were incredible miracles that took place, and we should be zeicha to that now. And this is what Esther wanted to tell the Chachamim. Kisvuni l'dayres, write me for generations. Shigam l'dayres yiyachaylum l'hamtika gvuras. Institute this in such a way, or recognize that the story of Purim was not isolated, but that it is a revelation of that which is going to recur each and every year of Jewish history, where every single year on the Yemei Purim, the same energy is being revealed. Kisvuni l'dayres, ulaham shechasadim, to sweeten the gvuras, to sweeten those harsh decrees, ulaham shechasadim, and to draw down heavenly mercy, va'oras hakdashim, and holy lights, ala Knesset Yisrael onto the collective soul of Am Yisrael al yidei kriyas haMegillah b'mei Purim through the reading of the Megillah on Purim, the unasin nisim and aflois b'chol dar v'dar al yidei zeh, and that miracles should take place each and every year. Miracles should take place. An infusion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love and chesed and guidance should be brought down into the world through the reading of the Megillah. So now he begins. V'zeh ramzu, and this is the remes. Hakore es haMegillah l'mafreya l'yotza. A person reads the Megillah, it means literally backwards, is not yotza. What does that mean, Pirish? By Arameir, one of the earlier tzaddikim, the Arameir already explained. Shem kore es haMegillah kis derech sipuri maisiyas. Sha'az l'mafreya. If a person only reads the Megillah as if it's some story that happened limafreya, right, which means a long time ago in this context, like you read a ki'ilu, oh, it's a nice story, it's something that happened then, and maybe we're getting together to commemorate it. So he says, ve'ena mala alibay, and a person doesn't realize in the moment of reading the Megillah, this is not a commemoration, the gates are opening, this is channeling down Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim. That in the schus of the kriya of the Megillah, we are re-triggering, and that serves as a catalyst to bring down those very iris that existed in the time of the Megillah, that they should flow down into our reality. La yatsa. Now again, does he mean la yatsa halachically? The whole thing is not halachic, you understand? He means la yatsa, meaning you missed the point, right? You're yaitse, but that's not the inyan of Megillah. That's not what Megillah is supposed to be. So la yatsa. Right, because what's the whole point of halacha? Like we said, is that it should enable a person to deepen their experience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, what is it? It's heinein guf. So you have the whole body, but kaguf b'lein neshama, right? Like the Shlach HaKadosh says, a mitzvah without kavana is the body, but without the soul. Well, what's the soul? The soul is to walk into shul with the joy of knowing that right now in these moments, gates are opening in Shemayim, gates are opening in your own life, that you could be zaycha to nisim v'neflois, befrat u'bechlal. And that's a person who's not reading the Megillah l'mafreya. That person realizes the Megillah is happening right now. It's not something that happened by yama mayhem. It's something that's also taking place bazman hazeh. Okay, that's the first remez. Then he goes, kara alpiv or balpeh lo yatza. If a person just reads it by heart, lo yatza. What does that mean? So he says an incredible thing. Yesh lirmoiz. Again, al derech remez. There's a fundamental distinction between Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh. Who? Torah Shebiksav nirmas kol ma shetamar vasik asu l'chadesh. Torah Shebal Peh was already included within Torah Shebiksav, because the Medrash and the Gemara tells us that all that which any Talmud Vasik, that any wise student throughout history is going to be Mechadish, come up with a novel idea, was already Nebel Moshe B'Sinai. It was already told to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's included within Torah Shebiksav. Asher ain't kates v'soif l'mashen eschadish, right? There's no end, because we'd call that, like, that is Torah Shebal Peh, but it's all included in Torah Shebiksav. The asel eschadish, v'lekam midid l'remiza baraisa. There's nothing that happens in the world that isn't hinted to in some way already in the Torah Shebiksav. U'bechol sha'adam moitze basichli eschadashim, and the more, I should say kichol, each and every moment of a person's life, you can find sichlis chadashim. There's brand new chidushim, which is such a pella, like a person comes up with a chidush, and you think this is the same Torah that for thousands of years, the biggest tzaddikim and ga'inim have been, you know, but you can come up with your own chidush, and it's endless and endless and endless. It's an incredible thing. That's our Torah Shebiksav. You can find sichlis chadashim, v'yuchalinsa soydes gedolim. You can find very deep mysteries and secrets. V'chidushe taira chadashim, and brand new chidushim. But masha'in came in Torah Shebal Peh, ain't nirmezba. Torah Shebal Peh doesn't necessarily have that same skula. Right? If you learn a Gemara, you learn the Rishonim, that's what it is. You know the Gemara, and the Gipaskin la'alacha, and that's what it is. Now, of course, there's always a derech remez, and a derech drush, and a derech soyd, even in Torah Shebal Peh. But you have to understand that all of that is still included in Torah Shebiksav. Right? Meaning that is still under the gather of the Torah Shebal Peh that was all already included in the Torah Shebiksav. And so there's a fundamental distinction between the capacity to discover endless, endless allusions and ramazim and applications between Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebal Peh. See, he says, Masha'inka b'Torah Shebal Peh ein nir mezba. V'zeh gam kein yesh laimar. This is a huge chiddush, which is a shocking thing. Esther. This is what Esther wanted to say. Not only is my name spiritually relevant, because metaphysically every year again and anew the lights of the Megillah, the lights of the Purim story are coming down into our reality. But more than that, kisvuni l'dayres. This should be considered mamish, which it is, of course, Torah Shebiksav. Asher b'chol es yimatsu ba sichlius chadashim v'razin da eraisa. That the Megillah has a special inyan that you could find endless secrets of the Megillah every year. That brand new sfarim coming out with new secrets, new levels of understanding. The Megillah is mamish endless. Some of the deepest side Torah are in the Megillah. Kiyadua. That the Megillah has this special inyan. Asher b'chol es yimatsu ba sichlius chadashim v'razin da eraisa kamar b'shar Torah shebiksav. That it shouldn't just be included as, again, part of our tradition, but kisvuni l'dayres. V'zei yesh l'rmas kan. And that's what it means over here. You can come to shul and listen to the Megillah and recognize, okay, Chazal instituted, we should read the Megillah each year anew. But a person can still come in and consider it to be a closed book. You heard the Megillah, you heard the Megillah. That's what it is. You know, that's the translation. You read it with Rashi and a Mefarsh, and that's what it is. A person has to realize, no, it has to become your Megillah. Meaning you have to become the Torah Shebaal Peh of the Megillah. You have to apply it to your own life and your own personal circumstances. It's not a general story about the nation. It's a story about each and every one of us. See, he says, Hakoira al peh. Layatza. I mean, if you read the Megillah like Torah Shebaal Peh, right, meaning something that doesn't contain endless illusion, also layatza, because you have to be able to find your own story in the Megillah. And a person doesn't realize just what you sit in front of when you sit in front of a Megillah. It's mamish. This Soif Kal Anisim, it's the book for Gullus. It's mamish, a book for our time. It's teaching us about what we need to do in our generation to battle against the last vestiges of Amalek within us and in the world at large. Amalek is a consciousness, right? Amalek means karcha. Amalek means kriris. Amalek means hopelessness. Amalek means despair. Amalek means, you know, very sophisticated and academic intellectualism. And Amalek destroys the spirit. Amalek doesn't realize that people are more than brains with a body to transport the brain from one place to the next. A person is a heart. A person is emotion. A person is feeling. A person is faith. And Amalek disregards all of this. So to battle that, we absolutely must be reading the Megillah as the most relevant in a certain sense of all the 24 books of Tanakh, because it's a story for now. And a person shouldn't just read it as Torah Shebaal Peh, but it has to be something chidushei chidushim, right? V'rimzei Torah adin shir v'keitz, so lo yatza. That's also an aspect of really missing out on what Purim has to offer us. We carry on, last few minutes.
Sorry.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry. Wasn't the question, Manishtana from Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and all these four,
yeah,
they're all Torah Shebaal Peh.
Nachon.
They are Torah Shebaal Peh.
Nachon. So, no, that's not so, the question, though. His so original question,
was,
"What? Why do you need a pasuk? Yeah, why do you need a special pasuk?"
So like this one, it's Torah Shebaal Peh.
That's right. That's right. L'chaira, this is also Nevuah. Esther was a Nevuah.
Like the other Sifrei Nach. That was the question.
Yes, and the answer is that it is. But the point is that there's an additional element where a person, even though it was included in Chavtal Sifrei Tanach, because there was a Maso Matan about it, you might consider it, okay, they included it. You know, but it is part of Torah Shebiksav, but because the way that it's told is a story without clear nevuahs that make it clear that it's Ladairas, a person can still read it as a story that's somehow relevant, we commemorate it, and it's part of our Tanakh. He's making it clear that no, the Megillah is not just a story, even though it unfolds like a story. And even though it doesn't seem to include any clear prophecies for the future, it was written in there, it was Kasvuni Ladairas, and we shouldn't read it al peh simply as a story, but a person should endeavor to find their own journey within it. Okay, and that's the additional element. But a person still could approach it like just Sipurei Maaseis, because that's the form that it took. We carry on the last few minutes. Kara Targum Chaloshon Lo Yatza. If you read it translated into some other language, a person was not Yotze. Roimez, what this means is because the specific words that are being read in the Megillah with Ksav Ashuris are drawing down very specific spiritual energies, and nothing's arbitrary. And drawing down great kindnesses. And if you read it in a foreign language, then then it could be that we're going to draw down that chesed to the nation, the language which we're speaking. Which again, he's basing this off his Rebbe, the Berditcher. If you want to know the whole thing, you have to look in Kedushas Lepurim. That's printed at the end of Sefer Kedushas Leiva, where he goes into this ba'arichus ad lema'oid in an absolutely fascinating way. I put out a kuntres on that a few years ago, summarizing it. Maybe we can get a few copies for the shul. But take a look over there, because that's what he's basing this off. But you can actually draw it onto that lashon, onto that nation. Therefore, the other way around, if you have a person who speaks another language, it doesn't matter if he actually understands it, but all the while that he's hearing the Megillah be read in Ksav Ashuris, it's having the proper impact and it's coming down into Knesset Yisrael, of which his or her particular soul is a part, and therefore the Ashpais are coming down from them as well. We don't have time now to read the rest of it inside. I'm just going to say it outside because next week will be a different inyan. Where he says, Karas Sirugin, if a person skips. See, he brings from the Gemara Megillah where there's a concept and a conversation about, based on the words in the Megillah, as Kala Toikef, right? All the strength and the power of this miracle. And the Gemara has a discussion of where a person needs to read from in order to be Yotz in the Megillah. And there are a couple of different options. Number one is Takfish al Achashverish, right? Either you read it from the strength of Achashverish, which is what we Paskin like, which is the whole Megillah, right, from beginning to the end, or the strength of Mordechai, which is from the Pasuk Miish Yehudi, or from the strength of Haman, which is Achre Advar Me'ela, or from the Takfa of the Nase, where the Nase began, which is, of course, Balayla Hu Nadada Shnas HaMelech. And the question of the Gemara is, where do you read it? See, he says, Karas Sirugin. He says, what Kaskara Surugin means, which a person is Yotze, is that even though, again, La Halacha, we don't paskin this way, but conceptually, there are many different experiences in Am Yisrael's journey where we need to draw on different aspects of the Purim story. Sometimes our issue comes mamash from the king. Let's talk Vishal Chashverish. Sometimes our issue comes from the people around the king who are advising him. It's not mamash the king, but and that's talk Vishal Haman. Sometimes, you know, the Indian is, we need, forget about Sur Meira, but to draw down from Asay Toiv and to connect to the Tzaddikim, that's Takvashal Mordechai, and then Takvashal, I'm already in Adalayada, and then Takvashal Nes. All right, so he says, Karas Surugin is a reference to this, that we have to know because the Megillah is relevant in each and every generation, and because it's not Mamish, it's not Tarash Vapet, it's Mamish Tarash Biksav, and it contains relevance to our time. So a person needs to know, the Tzaddikim need to know, which part of the Megillah are we trying to tap, which energy, Takvashal Achashverish, Takvashal Haman, Takvashal Nes, Takvashal, this is called Sirugin, right? Meaning the skipping throughout the Megillah to sort of find the particular parts of the Megillah that are relevant and reference our experience. And then finally we finish off Umis Namnim, that a person who's dozing is Yotze, because he says the whole inyan of the Nes was that Haman thought, right, where he says, Yeshnoi am echad chazal darshin, yeshnoi, like a lush in sleep. Not just there is one nation, Mufuzim Afar bin Amim, but Eleheim Yashinhu, right? He says their God is sleeping, right? And of course we know that even though it says Nadad Ashnas HaMelech, right? And it's a reference to the Melech, but of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hine Lo Yanav Lo Yishan Shai Yisrael. And a person needs to know that Misnamnim, if a person is hovering in between wakefulness and sleep, they're Yotzeh, because in a certain sense, that was the state that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in Kiviyachal, where on the surface it looked like he was sleeping, but of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is V'loinim, and V'loiktir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not sleeping, and if you call out to that person who's in a state of misnamnim, you call to him, he will answer you. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in that state, where Vayitzak, right, Mordechai grabbed all the Jews and he gathered them, V'yizaku za'akam mara gadayla, and he called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a state of nim v'loinim, tir v'loiktir, that if you kara, so Analeh, he's able to answer. And that's the aspect of Misnamnim that's very relevant to the Megillah. So over here are just a few deeper insights on Mishnayos in Megillah. But when you read it like this, it brings it to life. And it's with Neshama, and it's with Dveikus, and it's with Kodesh Baruch Hu, and with Eibishter. And that's what Halacha is really supposed to be. Kodesh Baruch Hu should bless us with an amazing week. Thinking about these ideas, getting our Neshamas ready for Chodesh Adar, Ba'alein Al-Tayva. And we'll carry on next week with the second episode in the series. Asher Kach, thank you so much. Thank you for joining. Thank you.